I speak to you in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We can really do Scripture a disservice when we allow ourselves to remove the humanity from Jesus. Throughout history, Christians have been quite concerned with defending the claim that Jesus was divine. You could spend a lifetime reading all the books written in order to prove this point. But I've been wondering if that's really the important thing that we need to focus on. For me, Jesus' divinity was never in question. In fact, I would say that we are all divine children of God, but we'll come to that in due time. The problem that plagues my pondering of Jesus is not his divinity, but his humanity. I spent the last 3 years holed up on what they call the Holy Hill, learning all about the Christology of Jesus and what that means for us as the church. And if I'm being honest, I started to get really frustrated with the constant focus on the divinity of Jesus. I got frustrated because I think we run a real dangerous risk when we allow Jesus to simply live up in heaven and not down in the gutters. Today, we encounter the human Jesus. Not just the human Jesus, but the snarky Jesus, a personal favorite of mine. For John came neither eating or drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Both of God's messengers were rejected for opposite reasons, but still rejected. John for being a little too strict, maybe, and a little wild and unkept, so much so that they thought he might be an agent of the devil. And Jesus for eating and drinking with the wrong people, something that could have been a death sentence according to Deuteronomic law. And yet both, we know, were sent by God. John with a message of preparation and repentance, and Jesus with the message of inclusive mercy. This message of Jesus, this inclusive mercy, always pushes people. It pushes people to a degree of uncomfortableness because we all have an idea of who God should be speaking to and speaking through. We all have a list of people. Whether we keep it secret or not, we all have a list of people that Jesus shouldn't be eating or drinking with. Whether it's people on the left or the right of politics, a homeless person begging outside of Kroger, a couple having a late night fight outside of your house in the street after having a little too much to drink, a teenager riding a skateboard in a parking lot of a bank, an ex-girlfriend, an ex-husband, or the Pride Parade marching down Main Street. We all have a list. But the heart of Jesus' inclusive mercy is that he will always be breaking bread with the people that we think are unworthy. It is through the teachings of Jesus that we see we shouldn't be spending our time judging others. Because when we do, we find any number of reasons to tear down even the very best leaders. Jesus himself was judged to be a glutton and a drunkard that ran with the untouchables of his time, God does not want us to judge others. Scripture is clear on that. But especially not those on the margins, because they are the most vulnerable in our society. Instead, Jesus teaches us not to judge others, but to come alongside the marginalized. Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Everyone that has been wearied or burdened with the worries of this life can feel how wonderful those words are. And until recently, I'd always thought of this passage as being all about Jesus helping me carry my burdens. Being yoked to Jesus is how I always saw it. Sort of like that well-known poem, Footprints. But then I got to thinking about how being yoked to Jesus is actually really tough. Being yoked to Jesus caused me and my family to leave everything we've ever known and follow him. Honestly, being yoked to Jesus sounds really rough. And that clearly isn't the message here. So I began to really think about it more deeply. And that's when it hit me. I am not yoked to Jesus. Jesus is the yoke. It's through baptism that we are yoked to each other through Jesus. We are not yoked to Jesus. Jesus is the yoke, and we're yoked to each other. And it makes a lot of sense when you think about it, because we know God wants connection. God wants relationship. God wants relationship with us and for us to be in relationship with each other. God wants us in relationship with the marginalized. And Jesus taught us that by his example. We aren't to judge those whom we feel are unworthy of Jesus' presence. We're to get down on their level and be fellow companions in their pain. We are to yoke ourselves to those who we might judge as unworthy to be at the table with Jesus, because that's how we can help carry their pain and make their burden lighter. And when we do that, we see how foolish it was for us to judge in the first place, because now we can feel a little bit of their pain too. And we'll walk in each other's shoes for a while. Together, we can learn from each other, because that's how transformation happens. That's how we begin to transform all this deep hurt that our world is feeling. Richard Rohr says, we must transform our pain or we will transmit it. The cross serves as a constant reminder of this, a reminder that God is a God of transformation. There, nailed to the cross, Jesus released us from the transmission of our own pain and gave us the gift of transformation. In the gospel for today, Jesus invites us to learn from him. And he always takes us to the margins to show forth the inclusive mercy that he lived. So this is your homework for the week ahead. I ask that you begin to ponder who it is that Jesus shouldn't be breaking bread with. and begin to wonder just how you might find Christ there in them. Amen.